Have you ever heard Christian believers referred to as Yeshurun? It's actually in the Bible four times a name for God's covenant nation. And there's 10 applications prophetically of that name. We're going to find out about all of those things on this episode of Discover Your Spiritual Identity.
It's time to discover your spiritual identity with your host, Mike Shreve. There are hundreds of names and titles given to God's people that powerfully reveal who you are, why you exist, and what your purpose is in this world. Each one pulls back the veil of a different aspect of who you are in Christ. Once you learn these names and titles and apply them to your life, you will rise up boldly to be all that God has called you to be. Are you ready? Here's Mike Shreve.
Yeshurun, that is a name you probably have not applied to yourself as a son or a daughter of God, and yet it is a corporate name for His holy nation. Of course, a reference to Israel in the Old Testament, but a reference to all born-again believers, Jew or Gentile, in the New Testament. We are God's holy nation, and we are Yeshurun. And there's only four times in the Bible where you find that name given to God's people, all in the Old Testament. And I want you to log these scriptural references in your mind because you'll want to go back and read all of them and really ponder the meaning. Deuteronomy 32:15, Deuteronomy 33, verse 5, Deuteronomy 33, verse 26, and Isaiah 44, verse 2. Now, let's go through all of those in deeper detail, because there's 10 prophetic applications concerning the meaning of this name. Now, if you go in most of your Bibles to the passages I just mentioned, you'll find that Yeshurun is spelled with a J. Now, the complete Jewish Bible correctly places a Y at the beginning of the word because there's no J in Hebrew. However, I don't know why translators have done that through the centuries, but it's incorrectly rendered with a J. It's pronounced with a Y. Three times this name is found in Moses' final words to the children of Israel. In his prophecy over Israel, which was contained within something called the Song of Moses, and in the blessings that he pronounced over them right before he went up into the mountain and died, and God buried him. And so this is like the climax of what he has done for all his years of ministry, funneling into the hearts of the Jewish people, the Israelite people, the revelation of what their identity was. They were not Egyptian slaves. They were a new people altogether. Israel, some say, means to wrestle with God. And others say it means prince of God or one who rules with God. And then other interpreters say it means both of those, wrestling with God, but then under his authority, reigning with God. And this is a similar sounding word, Israel, Yeshurun. And it means his upright one. To be his upright one means to be straight, contrary to the way this world functions and the way the lower nature functions. To be upright is to be in alignment with God's word, in alignment with God's spirit. It is to be upright or right in your relationship with God and up out of the dregs of this awful world, the scum of the lower nature. And God is calling us to be upright. But it's also a name for God's people that has an affectionate tone to it. And because of that, some interpreters say that Yeshurun means his beloved upright one. And Smith's Bible Dictionary goes even further and says Yeshurun means Israel's supremely blessed, happy, and prosperous. So you can put all those layers of revelation together as you claim this name for God's people. And what a beautiful name it is. And why did God wait to the very end of Moses' life to introduce this title to the people he was giving a new identity to? And this is your identity as well, because if you're a born-again believer, and maybe you're not of Jewish origin, you're a Gentile, you still have been grafted into the olive tree of Israel And not only do you inherit the blessing of Abraham, you inherit the titles and the promises that were given to God's covenant people in the Old Testament. As I mentioned, these words came from the Song of Moses and the blessing of Moses. Let's start with the Song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32. And why was it called the Song of Moses? Because back then, they primarily carried traditional beliefs from generation to generation by encapsulating them in song and music. And they would sing around the campfire and rehearse these stories over and over again. And the Song of Moses is so important that according to the book of Revelation, it will be sung in heaven one day. And so this is a name that stretches from time to eternity for God's people. But anyway, I regret to tell you, it begins in Deuteronomy 32, verse 15, as a rebuke to the Israelites. And I'll just touch on this because the majority of it is very positive and powerful. He talked about how he had blessed them and brought them out of Egypt and visited them and manifested himself to them. But then he said, but Yeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat. You grew thick. Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. So initially, Moses is saying, you've taken God for granted. He calls you his beloved upright nation, but you're not living up to your identity. And he compares Israel to a rebellious domestic beast that kicks against its owner, whether it's a goat or a sheep or a cow or what have you. Still, he said, Yeshurun grew fat. In other words, lazy spiritually, self-indulgent naturally and carnally, and rebellious against God. And it provoked him to jealousy with the foreign gods that they worshiped. And then verse 17, he said, they sacrificed to demons and not God. And that's another sermon altogether that reveals that the worship of gods other than the true God is a demonic impersonation. Those demons impersonate the gods being worshiped. Anyway, verse 18, God said, of the rock who begot you. So you've been begotten by the rock of ages. That means you have a rock solid nature inside of you. If you yield to it, you're just as unchangeable as the God who is called the rock. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful and have forgotten the God who fathered you, children in whom is no faith. And so, wow, it starts off really negative, really heartbreaking that they would have such a move of God, that God would crush the Egyptian empire, destroy the Egyptian army, open the Red Sea, feed them with manna for 40 years, bring water out of the rock, and they still lightly esteem the rock of their salvation. God have mercy. Don't let us fall into the same trap. But thankfully, then Moses rebounded to the positive side and polished up the name and gave it real beauty. And again, this time is part of the blessing of Moses, not the Song of Moses, but the blessing of Moses. And that's when he pronounced blessings, various blessings over the people of God. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 26, he says it this way. There is no one like the God of Yeshurun. So he names himself the God of Yeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. Then Israel shall dwell in safety, the fountain of Jacob. The fountain of Jacob, what a beautiful name given to the people of God. The fountain of Jacob alone in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens also will drop down dew. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Your enemy shall submit to you and you shall tread down their high places. That's Deuteronomy 33, starting with verse 26 all the way through to verse 29. Now there's 10 revelations from this passage that we need to go into. 10 powerful revelations that reveal what it is to be Yeshurun. Number one, it says, there is no one like the God of Yeshurun who rides the heavens to help you and in his excellency on the clouds. In other words, he will bring heavenly influence down into your earthly problems. Just like Jesus told us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The God of Yeshurun, his beloved upright one, he's going to manifest his kingdom authority, heaven on earth authority, if you are under siege. And then it says that he will help you. He rides the heavens to help you in his excellency on the clouds. So that's number two, that God will help you. That God will help you. If you belong to this corporate number of people referred to this way in Scripture, you have a promise from the Almighty. In fact, the Bible says that, Jesus said, I will send you another helper. So apparently he was the incarnation of God to help us. And then right when he was leaving, he said, I'm going to send you another helper. And the original Greek word is parakletos, and it's a reference to the Holy Spirit. And when the Bible talks about the helper that will lead us and guide us into all truth, the parakletos is referring to the Holy Spirit. And so we have the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the help of the Holy Spirit. And God promised that if we belong to Yeshurun or Yeshurun, that he will help us. The first thing he did for Adam was help him, because he said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a help suitable for him. And God's always attentive to things you don't even know you need. Adam had no idea that he needed a spouse, a mate, because no such thing existed. But God created something to meet a need that only God knew about. That's your God too. He's the God of Yeshurun. And he will search your life over to find the areas where you need help and introduce grace into your life in those areas. Then number three, praise God. Number three is God will hide you and carry you. One of the lines in that passage I just read says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. How powerful is that? I claim that scripture every time I get on an airplane. Underneath are the everlasting arms. In other words, not only is God with you, not only will God help you, but God will carry you. That's when you have no strength to walk yourself. And if you're under siege in your life where it feels like you're under a barrage of attacks from the demonic world, from people, from your past, from your own mind, from your lower nature, the eternal God is your refuge. Run to him. You're part of his beloved upright nation. You can run to him and find refuge. And then he said, he will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. If he'll thrust out the enemy from before us, then that means he encounters some things before we even know they exist. Battle plans of the enemy forged against us. And I believe we'll find out one day that God thwarted many things. Just like you read every now and then about the FBI or the CIA finding out about some plot by some terrorist group, and they intervene in an amount of time where it never happens. So they take care of things that the public as a whole are oblivious to. And I believe God's a whole lot smarter and a whole lot more effective than those agencies. He will thrust out the enemy from before you, and he will say, destroy. So there are probably many victories that you're oblivious to. And I think you ought to thank God for what he has done that you know about, and thank God for what he has done or will do that you'll never know about until you see him face to face. But he said that he would speak to the enemy, destroy. Now, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and the devil is referred to as the destroyer. So God comes into your life to destroy the destroyer. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God's authority is superior to his. You need to believe that and claim your healing, claim your deliverance, claim overcoming grace when you're in the middle of a trial. And then God promises to prosper you and use you. This is another wonderful promise from this Yeshurun passage. God will prosper you and use you. Verse 28 says, "Then Israel shall dwell in safety, the fountain of Jacob." Now, Jacob is a name that refers to all God's covenant people. Now, you've been grafted into Israel. Israel is also referred to as Jacob in a corporate sense. And God here says Jacob is a fountain. A fountain of what? A fountain of living water. And that living water is made up of the Word, which is represented as water in Scripture, and the Spirit, which is represented as water in Scripture. The Bible says the church will be cleansed by the washing of water by the Word. And Jesus said, "He that believes on me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit. And when you get the Word and the Spirit together, just like H2O link up and water is the result, the Word and the Spirit link up and living water is the result. And you're a fountain of that, a fountain of worship back to God and a fountain to sustain those that are dying of spiritual thirst around you. You become a water source if you are Yeshurun. You become a fountain of living water. And then he said, Israel will dwell in safety, the fountain of Jacob alone, in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens also shall drop down dew. And that's what I pray for you, that the dew of heaven will settle on your life. Again, that's outside of the sphere of your influence. When you sleep at night, you don't have anything to do with the dew settling on the ground, and neither do you have anything to do with the dew of God's favor settling on your life. Because the Bible said that his favor is like the dew that settles. It comes without your involvement if you're really inclined toward him. Also, God refers to Yeshurun in a beautiful way of being prepared for battle, and not only prepared for battle, but equipped for battle. Because he says, "Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty." The shield of your help, that's a defensive weapon, a shield. And the sword of your majesty, that's an offensive weapon. What is your shield? It's faith. And it repels all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I love that scripture where David said, "Thou, Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head." God has shielded me many times. I'll never forget the time a drug pusher got angry with me because I came to his turf to witness and pulled out a gun and shot at me four times. And I heard one bullet just go right past my ear. And I've always believed, it was a very short distance from where he was shooting, that there was a shield around me, because when he started shooting, I felt that barrier drop down around me, that divine shield. And I knew even if his aim was perfect, it would be deflected. And not only is that true, I believe a lot of things get deflected from your life. And you have a sword, the sword of the Word of God. It's a two-edged sword, Old Testament, New Testament, law and grace. Faith and works is a two-edged sword, and with it, you can waste the enemy. And God promises ultimate victory. The end of that beautiful, beautiful passage says, "Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places." Now, what could be labeled your enemies? Very easy. Your enemies, well, our sin. Sin is an enemy to your soul. All the demonic powers that serve under Satan. I don't believe Satan himself personally fights you every day. He's not omnipresent. But he has a demonic horde under him that do buffet the people of God daily. They're your enemies. And your lower nature is an enemy. Your fallen flesh nature is an enemy. And death is an enemy. In fact, the Bible said it's the last enemy that will be destroyed. But God says here in this beautiful prophetic passage to Yeshurun, his beloved upright one, Your enemy shall submit to you. The flesh has got to submit to you. Demons have got to obey the authoritative speaking of the word that comes forth from you. Your enemy shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. The Bible talks about how you and I are pulling down strongholds. Any kind of imagination, imagined fear, imagined doubt, imagined defeat, imagined guilt. See, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. And here he said, you won't just pull them down, you will tread them underfoot. How glorious is that? Another version of that same passage says, your enemies will cower before you. And the King James says, your enemies will be found liars unto thee. And so your flesh lies to you. Demons lie to you. The world lies to you. Death lies to you. It thinks you're its victim, its prey. But your enemies will be found liars, and the God of truth will come to your rescue. Now let me go to the final passage real quickly, and then I'm going to pull this together. Isaiah 44, verses 2, 3, and 4. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the water courses. And that speaks of the final three things, 8, 9, and 10, flourishing in a desert dry world, because God said he would pour waters, floods on the dry ground. Number 9, the legacy that you pass down, because he said, I will pour water on him that is thirsty, and I will pour my spirit on his descendants and my blessing on your offspring. So if you're a part of Yeshurun, you are passing on a legacy of blessing to your children. And then finally, number 10, excellence compared to the world around us, and uniqueness and superiority compared to the world around us. Because he said that when he pours his water out on us, that living water from heaven, that we will spring up like among the grass, like willows by the watercourses. And so the world and all it can produce is like the little sprigs of grass. But if God finds someone he can draw into this covenant body of believers called Yeshurun, then he said, you'll be like a willow tree compared to the grass. In other words, far superior than anything the world can produce. And that's what it is to be a part of this covenant nation named Yeshurun. I hope this has been a blessing to you. And I know that if you live in it, it will bring forth fruit in your life.
Thank you for listening to Discover Your Spiritual Identity with Mike Shreve, a podcast designed to cause a spiritual awakening in your life. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, cpnshows.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss new episodes. You can go deeper into this amazing revelation of the names God has given his people by getting your copy of Mike Shreve's book titled, Who Am I? Dynamic Declarations of Who You Are in Christ. We also invite you to visit our website, shreveministries.org, and sign up to be part of our global internet family, a group of on-fire believers who are bold to proclaim, I am who God says I am, I have what God says I have, and I will be what God says I will be.